Hello and welcome to Logan City Christian Church Podcast. Today we have an impactful teaching by Dr. Reginald Klimenok. Dr. Klimenok's preaching has touched the lives of many, inspiring and challenging audiences with his deep insights into the Bible and Christian theology. Join us as we delve deep into his powerful messages, uncovering timeless truth and practical wisdom that can transform our lives today. Get ready to be inspired, encouraged, and equipped as we journey through the rich tapestry of Dr. Klimenok's preaching.
We're talking about faith versus fear. It's an unusual subject in the Bible. Jesus, we talked about right believing and wrong believing last week. And it's amazing, over 100 times when the word says have faith, the Bible also says fear not. It links the lack of faith with fear. As I said to you last week, fear is a destructive force. In 1 John 4:18, John wrote and says, fear hath torment. It says there's a spirit of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The Bible said, as I concluded last week, in Luke 21:26, men's hearts will fail them for fear in the last days, because they'll see some things happening around them, and that fear will possess their lives. But Jesus expects us to believe him. He's unbelievably strong in relationship to what he expects with about concerning this. It's amazing, I concluded somewhere in here, in Psalm 62, that was one of the scriptures I want to commence with. A number of times it says, my soul wait upon God, verse 5, for my expectation is from him. You're my strength, my refuge. Twice at least in that psalm it says, my expectations. For God alone my wait with confidence, for all are my expectations are from him. The word expectation means to twist yourself into God, to bind yourself into God. And literally, our expectations, we should be living expecting God, church. All my expectations should be from the Lord. Indeed, you must direct yourself to faith and not fear. We're going to see tonight how strong the Lord is concerning this. You either anticipate disaster and troubles and difficulties. You are expecting God to cause you to triumph. Can you say amen? If Jesus tells us in the most unusual circumstances, which we'll discuss tonight, to fear not, only believe, and he gives us the imperative command to do that, it means we have to do it. We have to not fear. Can you say amen? He cannot do it without us. He said, fear not, believe only. We'll look at some of those circumstances tonight. So we must so be entwined in God. Remember another scripture we concluded on in Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of them are the issues of life. The issues of life don't come so much from your circumstances, but from your heart. So God tells us to keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it, out of your heart, are the issues of life. So it's what you do with your heart, it's the way you respond with your heart, that brings about the circumstances of life around you. Now that's so different to the way the world lives and its natural expectations. But our expectations are from God. All my expectations are from God. And your heart must be so kept, because out of your heart come what? The issues of life. You ask, how can I have faith in God, and how can I have, you know, faith? How can I feel evil? It's much easier, as I told you last week, to live in fear than in faith. Faith is a learned behavior. You don't learn how to sin. You don't learn how to do evil. That's a natural practice. You can do that without any lessons. It's very normal to let your, not normal, it's with us Christians, but to walk like that. But faith is a learned behavior, and yet fear is so strong. Remember in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of what things hope for. I personally, likewise, fear is the substance. So if you elect fear, I remember so strongly Bishop Canon Glennon so strongly sharing that with us. It never left me. How he illustrated it so often in many cases, and they used to minister to thousands of people every Wednesday night in healing. How they discovered if fear takes over, man possesses the fears. In Job 3:25, Job says, the things that I feared came upon me. See, this morning I talked about God took Abraham. Why didn't he take Adam? Because Adam wasn't ready for anything yet. I'd have no understanding. Remember, I told you at first God built nation, hoped that the whole world would respond to him. But they didn't, went back into idolatry. Why didn't God take Job? Well, it was a bit early yet for Job. But Job, remember that at first he kept sacrificing for his children. And I think it was out of fear more than faith. And you might remember then it says the thing that he feared came upon him. And when he had those 9 months of suffering, he didn't sacrifice once. He just sat in his little suffering and talked about it, and they supported him in his suffering and told him it must have been a lot of things that happened because of that. But I really believe this fear power is very strong, and your believing power is very strong, and you must determine which way you go. You have the ability to anticipate the unseen and the unknown, be it toward God, be it toward the great things of God, or be it toward evil and misdirected wrongly, or to things of fear. And I think we have to tonight deliberately expose our fears. And everything that is of fear must be mercilessly identified, uncovered, brought under light, so that you'll understand what's going on in your life. Because fear thrives on deceit. Say, fear thrives on deceit. Fear, it's a blinded stuff. You hardly know you're fearing. It comes out of the deceits of this world. You have to admit to yourself, I have these things that I must turn from in the name of Jesus Christ. And don't say they're just personality traits I have been born with. Rather, I will turn from the fears that possess my life. You never realize faith until fear goes. You never have faith until fear is identified and unmasked. And that spirit often that paralyzes you is taken out of your life. People fear many things. They fear poverty. They fear like an unemployment. They fear sin. They fear the neighbors, they fear fire, they fear water, they fear disease. Now, some things are natural to fear. You've got to have a level of carefulness in life. But that's different between this kind of fear that grabs hold of you and tries to stranglehold your life and take from you. It's almost irrational. And when it gets too strong, it torments. It sees danger before it's even there. It anticipates disaster before disasters come. Now let me look at some of the things that, how this operates. I'm trying to do this the best I can. I've looked into this, try to give ourselves some understanding. Fears come to people in various forms. Firstly, fear undermines your confidence and strength, and places, inhibits you, takes freedom away from you. And because of this, it's often fulfilled in itself when you think, well, that's the way it operates. Certainly, fear creates opportunity for Satan to take an advantage of you. He operates in fear. There is a spirit of fear. That's his home. That's his environment. When you have a pain, you think cancer. Or something else is wrong with you. Then either a good wife or a good husband say, don't be silly. You'll be all right. You get no compassion. But it's good. Because it takes you out of your fears. Thirdly, fear seems to be justified by its fulfillment. Because it's, well, you know, it happened according to what I feared. But it doesn't have to happen, can you say amen? It doesn't have to come that way. For example, man is prosperous, but is continually anxious about his wealth. He becomes a miser. He becomes destitute. Loses his self-confidence. It's worse rather than being destitute. Loses his self-confidence. And because he goes that way, his very life goes that way. And he misses out. A person is healthy, but always dreads sickness. Now, I tell you, if you do that, you draw sickness. I can tell you of people that I know that are sick today that for years talked about sickness. I was a pastor. And they always talked about the diseases. We don't talk sickness in our home. There are very bad words in our home. We try not to say them. If I do, I'm in trouble from my wife. Thank God for a good wife. And likewise, and we don't allow. Now, I know you have to be factual, but after you've established the fact, you let faith come. Can you say amen? You declare. You declare because you draw that very sickness to yourself. You see, I'm talking about the spiritual realm now. You say, I don't believe it. That's fine. Live like you want to live. I'm talking about the Bible. We're going to go a bit deeper and see how that all operates in the moment in the name of Jesus. A woman is terrified every time she hears an ambulance. She's expecting she was like a nervous collapse because she expects something to happen. I remember Elvis Presley. When his father died, he kept saying, I'm going to die at the same age as my father. He kept saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, and he died. I had a woman in my church in Houston, Texas. She had a grandson who had a terrible accident and died. And all she could do was talk about this and possess it in her soul and possess it in her life. Sure enough, I couldn't break it off her. I was trying to be compassionate, but I tried to be firm to say, don't talk, don't live that. She lived in that fear. And she died like that. Because you don't talk like that. Can you say amen? Come on, church. Dread of accidents. When you do that, the angels are driven out of your life. They can't operate because they don't operate in an environment of fear. They operate in an environment of faith. Come on. You say, well, this is my makeup. I'm made like that. And the Irishman says, I have a right to lose my temper. I'm Irish. Or whatever. It's not your it's not your Christ makeup. Come on, church. We have Jesus in us. We have the divine nature. We don't live like that. And make up your mind. Watch your language and you'll soon see whether you're a man of faith or a man of fear, a woman of faith with you. You know, an unhappy experience has made a woman, an example, I know, afraid of banks. She was terrified to enter banks after that. Well, she didn't do much good after that. Here's a man anticipating bad news. Every time he's waiting for news to come, something bad news is going to happen to him. Lives in that environment and allows it to possess his life and allows it to, time the phone rings or the postman comes, I'm expecting bad news. Don't do that. Some people are perverted by the good sense of hygiene. Remember, what's that television program we like? Monk. We like Monk. It's a good one. It's a wholesome one. But he's crazy on this hygiene business. You know, the time he shakes somebody's hand, he needs for somebody to clean. He's a fanatic on everything, you know, of that nature. Well, so was Howard Hughes. He was crazy with that. The fear of that possessed him. Then finally, he had long fingernails in his hair, and he wouldn't let anybody in the room. And he was absolutely, he was a brilliant, one of the richest men on the earth. And yet that fear of hygiene killed him. The thing that he thought would help him killed him. Maybe there are some people are so afraid of losing the affection of the other person. A wife can be like that, a husband. They drive them almost away by the way they act, instead of bringing them closer to them. Destroys the marriage because the fear of that has possessed them. I've counseled people like that. It's horrendous, and you can hardly break it. There are all kinds of phobias. I've got about 30 of them listed here. I'm sure you don't want to listen to all of them. Ailerophobia means fear of cats. Agoraphobia, fear of pain. Androphobia, fear of aversion to men. Let women have that. No. Animophobia, fear of winds and drafts. Aphophobia, aversion of being touched by people. A phobia. Astrophobia, fear of thunderstorms. I could go on. They have all the phobias in the world listed here. And I'm sure our doctor friends can tell us more. But notice here an occasion. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus was coming to the home of Jairus' daughter, and she was very sick, near to death. And he is interrupted by the woman that touched the hem of his garment. And by the time he's ready to go to her, you remember what it says here, somebody, the people came saying, don't trouble thy master, the master. Verse 48, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But Jesus said to him, fear not, only believe. Chapter 8, yes, verse, didn't I tell you that? You've got to learn, you've got to know these. Luke chapter 8. Now listen to what he said to him in verse 50. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. His faith was important in Jesus' work in this situation. It wasn't just Jesus doing the miracle. He needed this man's faith at the same time to see the miracle happen. Because when you do fear and barriers are erected against the possibility of God working, I'm telling you, it's like a magnet. It's as real as anything else in life. So Jesus said to him, fear not, only believe. He could have said, it's all right, I do it all. No, he was involved. His link with that family was involved. You are involved in the miracle. You are involved in what God does. And he says to him, fear not, don't panic, only believe. That the barrier will not be created. You see, the story illustrates he had two things. He had the words of Jesus, and he had the presence of Jesus. We likewise have what? The words of Jesus and the presence. What it says in Psalm 23, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he said, I will never leave you, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Strong statements, powerful statements. Now, since fear is so destructive, and it's so, understandably destructive, why do we cling to our fears? Why do we set them gleefully aside and say, go away, no more fears? Well, I'm going to tell you some reasons why. You may not believe this, but I believe it's true out of my understanding. Those who fear, fear because they're seeking protection. They feel that the fear will keep them from harm's way. They don't realize that the stuff they think protects them destroys them. It's like a form of security. They cling to fear. They don't realize when it happens, they say, well, as I believed, so it's happened to me. Strange as it may sound. Now, often also people cling to fears because of the sense of unworthiness. They don't feel they're worthy of anything else. They're comfortable in adversity. They're comfortable, not comfortable in prosperity. They're not comfortable when good things happen to them. They almost feel guilty. Why has this good thing happened to me? Is that crazy? I tell you, the spirit of poverty is very real. And it can possess people's lives. They feel that to be a servant of that condition, they almost feel, how could I be joyful, being melody in my heart every day and have the superfluity of God's greatness and blessing and goodness in my life? That I can really laugh and be happy and have an abundance of provision. It sounds, it's almost, you know, leanness and the lash is more. You remember, there are literally when Martin Luther, remember, he self-flagellated himself. They literally felt that the more they do this, and of course, number three, there is this, another fear is this deep sense of guilt. They feel that by being punished in some way for their sins, they're doing the right thing. It almost gives them like a religious satisfaction. You're never worthy of anything. I told you that this morning. There's not a thing you can do to save yourself. It's only the blood of Jesus. Only God. Get it all together and give it all to God. It still would not be enough in the face of a holy God. And do not believe that this self-flagellation and this will bring you measures of holiness. It was very popular years ago. I heard, I won't say whose name, on Larry King Live this week, one of the famous names. And he said, well, he believed that his sickness says God bought them, that he has a purpose in them. What if God got a purpose? Don't go to the doctor. Don't have a head operation. If it's from God, leave it. Thank God for it. Have a good time in it. Listen to me. God does not bring sickness. God does not afflict you with sickness. It's the work of the enemy. It's one of the things we fight in our fallen nature. It didn't come till sin came. It came out of the conditions very clear in the Bible. I cannot believe that God would use this as you can humble yourself and receive something from God during these times. But I don't believe that God does it. He doesn't use the rod. And you know, people feel, well, they heighten their guilt, and so they feel this is like God giving them peace out of their fears. Get that out of your system. God is a good God. Come on, church. God wants to help us. I do not believe God uses that. Not convinced at all. Not in any sense. He paid the price for our sins. Can you say amen? He paid the price for our sickness. Amen. We can't atone for our sins. We cannot do it. Now, if you want to fast and pray, but not because of leanness, not because you're going to be justified thereby. You fast and pray because you're trying to break through something in your life and bring the powers of darkness to destruction, to get authority to deal with the flesh in some way. Not against that at all. But you do not justify. You do not bring yourself to the place of worthiness by that. Don't live in that fear. Many people are safe in their fears because they've been in an environment so long that it seems to be the only way of life. They're comforted with defeat rather than victory, with poverty rather than prosperity. What would I do with, I remember someone, I don't know what the situation was, and they promised a tremendous amount of money, and they said, what am I going to do with all this money? I said, give it to me. I mean, God, what could we do with money, Pastor Jeff? We could bless the world. Come on. God, do things in the name of Jesus. We could build churches and do mighty things in the kingdom, do things for missions. Come on, church. The kind of the mental image of living joyfully, they've always lived in this. Break loose in the name of Jesus. No more, Satan. No more the spirit of fear. It's sort of the familiar in their own defeats. You see, faith enters the invisible realm, and so does fear. So faith must enter the good things of God, the great things of God. Can you say amen? The possible things of God, and refuse the others. We all are attacked at times, but I will shake it off in the name of Jesus. I refuse to let those things possess my mind and heart, because the greatest fear is of the unknown. We look in the future, and we can either see God, or we can see hopelessness and despair. But we must not see hopelessness and despair. We must declare the mighty works of God. Amen. You see, some people cling to fears because they refuse to surrender them. They say, well, I can't do anything great for God. I can't be something great. What can God do with my money? It doesn't matter how much you give. It's the heart that you give with and what you've left. That's what God sees. So it's not amount. One man must have to give $1 million. Another can give $1 in comparison. But what I'm saying is, you don't make the excuse, well, I can't do anything. I can do all things through Christ. Can you say amen? Amen, church. You have no justifiable reason for keeping it back. Now, I want to go to Scripture and show you that it's almost difficult to believe. There's two Scriptures that deal with this. Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus, in the midst of the storm, from verse 23. Now notice what it says here. When he entered into the ship, verse 23 of Matthew 8, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. Now listen, look at this. The ship literally was swamped with water. A great storm arose. It wasn't a natural storm. It literally had completely possessed the boat. The same story is found in Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, we're going over the other side. It was so hopeless. Now, Jesus, if you know anything about the boats in those days, they had boats in the back there. They had a cushion right in the back of the boat. If you've been and seen Peter's boat and so on in Galilee, in Israel, you see them there. I went on one of those boats once. And Jesus is fast asleep on the back of that ship, on that pillar. And this boat is being tossed like a matchbox in the midst of the sea. Furious sea. And you say, it would be natural to react like they did. They didn't do it early when it started off. I mean, the boat was nearly swamped with water. It was pretty bad. I've only been once in a massive storm on a ship. When a cargo vessel coming back from England, six passengers, we went into what was it? Out of Aden, what kind of storm was it? One of the worst. Cyclone. I mean, that boat, even the swimming pool they put up was smashed to pieces. That boat just... We were going through it. Somehow I had no fear. Thank God. Those days, it was quite horrendous. But here, there were and literally it was more than an ordinary storm, because the way that Jesus rebuked the storm was literally that the demons of hell were behind it. They're trying to kill Jesus. And so they come unto him and says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And to me, the words of Jesus are almost like a greater experience than this miracle. Because he got up and he hushed, commanded the storm to cease, and it just completely ceased. And then Jesus said, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Imagine saying that. Shorty would have said, sorry, fellas, I was asleep and I was having a nice rest. I needed it. Imagine. But you see, he had said, we're going over. Like what old Robert says, you can't go under for going over. God has said, if your life, you're going over. Come on, church. And although the boat was swamped, he still said, now they had enough sense to say nothing. And I said, Lord, what are you expecting from us? Give us a break. This is hard. In this situation, I mean, it was literally, they were drowning. The boat was full of water. Well, they're so overawed by the miracle that they just said, say nothing, boys. Why do you have fear? He expected them to stand against the storm and command the storm to cease. He was teaching them how to walk. Amazing words. Now, I don't have anything worse than this. Any circumstance worse than this. Than this situation. That's a pretty tough statement to make. You know, you're saying, Jesus, help! And he said, where's your faith? Why do you fear? Come on, look at it. Don't just read it like a little story. See the dilemma they're in. See the conditions that surround them. See the circumstances. You'd surely think that fear was permissible in this stuff. Surely we have a right to fear a little, just a little, Jesus. Care us enough that we perish. Why are you so fearful? Have faith. Jesus hasn't changed. Jesus, I'm more impressed by what Jesus said than by the miracle. What he expects from us. Can you say amen? Well, I mean, we sink under little things, and this is a big thing. Surely he would understand. But you see, he said, you've discarded your faith. You've let fear come. That's what he said. Don't fear. Why did you discard your faith? He was teaching them the ways of faith. Instead of looking up that storm that was just about possessing that boat. Where is your faith? His master remained unchanged. He said, peace, be still. There's three ways you can handle these things. You can go under in fear and collapse without God. You can go over and fighting, calling on God, and get all messed up. You can go over in faith, conquering with God. One of the greatest miracles God did was when God separated the Red Sea. They'd come out, it says in Exodus 12, 35 and 36, ruled the wealth of Egypt. They came out with Egyptian jewels, and it says in silver and gold and raiment. They didn't lend it. The word lend is not a good word. The original says literally that they gave it to them. I have the original here. It's strong as the word Shaddai. They asked, requested, and they just gave it to them. What do you say, Beth? Oh, yes, there's various meanings. One is they said, look, take it all. And literally, they say Egypt was dispossessed of riches and wealth at that stage. And Israel came out. God said to them, you're going to come out with much money, much wealth. And so they did come out with that. And the Bible says in Psalm 105, 37 to 43, there was not one feeble person amongst them. God touched them. And now they go into the wilderness with great confidence. They've seen the miracle power of God. And they come to the Red Sea. And they arrive at this massive sea before them. There's seemingly no way out. And suddenly they hear these rumbling going on. And they look back and they see the dust in the wilderness. And suddenly they see the chariots of Egypt coming. And they can do three things. They can let the voice of fear overpower them. Or the voice of hope wait for something. Or the voice of faith triumph. They saw the people, look, they saw the Dead Sea and so on. They watched the dust and so on. And so Moses makes this powerful statement. Fear not. Stand still. And see this. I've preached on that. Wrong. He wasn't talking from God. He was talking from himself. Because God then condemns this prayer and says to Moses, why are you crying unto me? Go forward. Act in faith. Wonderful statement. Stand still and see. If they stood still and saw, they would have been bruised and battled and scarred by the Egyptians. But God says, go forward into the sea. He says, why do you cry unto me? Why are you praying? Sometimes praying has to stop. Acting has to stop. What is the Red Sea of your life? What seems to be hopeless on every side? What are you going through? Sickness, disease, bound by maybe fears and torments and habits. What winds are coming against you? Are you standing in faith? Stand in faith, standing, and nothing is happening. Somehow, you've got to go forward. Now, what are the power? What is this rod that God used in the life of Moses? What is this symbolic of in our lives? I believe it's the Word of God. I want you to take with you some scriptures, and I want you to go with me, maybe note them for yourself, and let's go into them and see what God has to say to us. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, I gave you power to tread upon serpents and over all the power of the enemy. How much power has he given us? Over all the power of the enemy. Jesus spoiled principalities and powers on the cross. Every believer is given the right to share that conquest, to declare that conquest. It's amazing. One translation says on the Amplified, mental strength and ability. Mental strength over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. Come on, sirs. You've been given authority over the devil. Come on, church. Satan may muster powers against you, may try to compel you to live under fear. Iniquity may resist you. Cunning wiles may come against you. But you must stand and declare and move into the Word of God and see the authority of faith. Can you say amen? And the blood of Jesus. See where you are and see who you are in Christ. Can you say amen? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Another part of the rod is Romans 8:31. What shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at these scriptures. Look at that scripture for a minute. He says here, all things work together for good. And he says, whom he predestined, he called, and he called, he justified, and he justified, he glorified, verse 30. Then he says in verse 30, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall not with him freely give us all things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Are you God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet risen again. Verse 31, if God, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, well, who can be against you? Come on, church. Amen. Write that down, put it around your walls, murmur, mutter it all day long. If God, get up in the morning and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Remember, we talked about meditation, which means muttering, chewing over like the cud of a cow. Keep saying it, if God be for me, if God be for me, if God be for me. Mutter it under your lips, if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, church. You don't have to be fretful, confused, or burdened with self-accusations. And let those things overpower you. As long as you've confessed your sins and brought them under the blood of Jesus Christ, no accusation of Satan has any power. Come on, church. No one can be against you. Go to 2 Corinthians 2:14, please. Where am I? Oh, I like these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 2:14, put them down, remember them, don't look at me like a zombie. Do them. 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God that always causes us to triumph in Christ. How many times?
Always.
Always. In 9:8, Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, having all sufficient, all things may abound in every. God is able to do that. Come on, church. These are your rods of faith. Can you say amen? Stand victorious at this hour. No matter what comes against you, take the devil by the throat in his jugular thing in the name of Jesus. You have power over him. But listen, he will not go until you act. He will not move. You must take faith. You must declare the word of God. He always leads us to triumph. No matter how furious he gets, God always leads us to triumph. Can you say amen? Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord. There's another great weapon in the power of his might. Imagine what Ephesians 1 says. Amazing words of God for all of us. As he declares the power of Jesus. He says, enlighten you that you may understand the revelation of God of wisdom and knowledge. And eyes of your eyes being enlightened, verse 18. What is the hope of the one that you call to? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the great power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Send him up all might and power and dominion. God's given us this. Come on, church. Tremendous power, supreme power, risen power of Jesus Christ toward us. Be strong in the Lord. Hello, church. Ephesians 3:20 says, be strengthened with the might of the Spirit in the inner man. By the grace of God, through the riches of his kindness and goodness. Hallelujah. We have been elevated to heavenly princesses. We're made potential occupiers of the throne of Christ. We have the power of God in us. Amen. And people that have lived like that have seen a difference in their life. You have got to fear not in the midst of the most hopeless situation. And he says, only believe. Surely, Lord, a little bit of fear is allowed. No, sir. It's almost cruel. But I tell you, if you want to be something great in God, if you want to be a man of faith, in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Colossians 1 says to us, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering and joyfulness. And these Christians didn't have it easy those days. Some of them died for Christ, persecuted for Christ, but strengthened with, they went joyfully. The world looked at them and said, you're crazy. But they went with joy, strengthened with the might and power of Jesus. They lived for God. The influence is so great that the whole world was revolutionized by their testimony, until that world was turned upside down by these testimony of believers who were dead to believe. Come on, church. Satan may try to attack you. Sickness may try to come upon you. But you have peace, joy, victory. Don't accept the inward accusations and condemnations. Don't accept anything but what God says you are in Christ. It tells us to resist the devil. It tells us to, he comes like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5, seeking whom he may devour. Stand steadfast, it says. Why do I mention Satan? Because Jesus did. His enemy was the enemy. When he rebuked that word, it was Satan behind that. I believe the enemy is working strong these days to undermine the Christians, and too many Christians have lost all of their tenacity, their strength, their virility, their faith in God. In Colossians 1:27, it says, another one of these wonderful promises, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Where is Christ? Christ in us. Amen. Don't let anything come. Don't let weakness come. Without strength, you cannot void this power. Don't be hemmed in by the foes. Don't look at the outward appearance. Cultivate that spiritual art of seeing the invisible. Moses saw the invisible. Cultivate that art. Expect God in circumstances. Think of what it is. Believe it. Receive it. Amen, church. If you have Christ in you, you have the glory of God in you. Jesus said, believe and you will see the glory of God. God's word declares that when God comes, weakness goes. difficulties. Somehow you need enablement for some of them. At times they completely disappear. In Colossians 2:10 it says, you are complete in him. The sinfulness that dwells in Jesus. I love this. Verse 9 says, from him dwelleth all the fullness, the word is pleroma, of the Godhead bodily. And we have the same pleroma in our lives. Same word. God, I tell you, recognize what you have. And fears have to go. You will fear. I mean, these guys in Bible days felt the lash, felt the lions, felt the fire. But many of them, even they tell us in these days in China, that when they suffer, they feel no pain. God, they look their eyes on Jesus, and God takes it all away. Amen, church. I'm not saying it's all going to be easy. You know, I'm going to believe. Sometimes, yes. But sometimes you have to face things. But you go in triumph. You go in the strength of your living God. Can you say amen? And you take the promises. That's what you live on. You get the strength of God. And I believe more and more than anything else, you can get victory. In the name of Jesus. I believe the glory of God can be manifested so much in our life. I don't believe we'll have much more authority when we get to heaven than we have now. It's a matter of just getting to that place of recognizing what we have. We'll be changed. We'll be transformed. But if only we'll grasp all that is ours today. I want to raise up people with faith. Can you say amen? Where the fears of life go. Already Christ is in you. Come on, church. Already you are touched with the image of God. You're transformed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Already you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's all happening if you can grasp it and understand it and have insight. What brings the miracle? The words of Christ in your life. The words of God that I gave you in your heart. And in you. What brought the miracle to the Red Sea? He took the rod. What did Jesus say? Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Amen, church. As I said earlier, it may sound tough. I believe in prayer. You know that. We talked about that. But sometimes you've got to stop praying and start speaking. You've got to start saying the name of Jesus. This is my victory. This is my possession. Can you say amen? Your words shape your life. How you save, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart. Hebrews 3:1 says, Christ is the high priest of our confession. The word is homologia, which means to say the same thing as God says. So we say what God says. You said this, Lord, I will always triumph. God shall supply all my needs. Amen, church. I'm more than a conqueror. He's my healer. I mean, look at Brother the other day. He was thrown through the air with the greatest of ease. And at our age, or at that young age, it's quite easy. If you're drunk, it's easy, they tell us. But he wasn't drunk, maybe in the spirit. But he wasn't drunk, and yet he walked away from that. Come on. And God can work with us. And God can do miracles with us. Stand strong. Start saying what God says in every circumstance. Start saying the greatness of God. Let the faith of Abraham be in you. Remember this morning, what did Peter do in Acts 3:6? He spoke to the lame man and commanded. In other scriptures too, God speaks of those things which are as though they already are. That's the God we serve. We have the same ability. What does it say? Pray against the devil. Pray to God that he will remove the devil. It says, resist the devil. James 4:7. Resist him. Strong in the faith, it says in 1 Peter 5. Stand strong. Resist the enemy. Get out, devil. I talk to him. Command him to leave me alone. Any thought comes forward to the word of God, I literally talk about that. Just get out in Jesus' name. You've got no place to contact my mind. You've got no place to put those thoughts in me, whatever they are. In the name of Jesus. Amen. My children will live, praise God. Can you say amen? So we speak the words of faith. Well, I could go on with other things, but time is gone. Much more to share, but that will do tonight, because I want you to have faith. Fear not, only believe. What? Fear not. And he said that when the boat was going under. Always remember that. He didn't say it in some little thing that happened. He said to the man whose daughter had died, said, fear not, and she's going to be well. And somehow his faith was involved in the miracle. Well, see, I wasn't healed tonight. I don't care. I do care. But stand in faith. Don't give up. I'm standing in faith in quite a few things, believing God, seeing things every day. I could have terrible fears about something that some people know about. But I will refuse fear. I will stand in faith. That's why some things I haven't shared with you. Because I don't want people to bring fear to situations, but faith to situations. Can you say amen? I want people to have faith, not fear, and declare the works of God in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? And believe. Now, I believe sometimes God can deliver you from terrible attacks, from prison and so on. I believe that. God can perform miracles for those people. I know in the early church they wanted to die for Jesus. A lot of those men, I've read some of their life stories. It was a great privilege to die for Christ. Great privilege to give your life as a martyr for Jesus. Paul says, I want to go to be with Jesus a long time. But it's better for me to be here for your sakes. But let's stand. Lord, teach us from this truth what we should understand and know. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Now, I'm happy to pray for people. We prayed for quite a few last Sunday on this subject, and some had a great deliverance. If you really have fears in your life that you can't cope with, you've got to do two things. We can pray to break things, but you've got to take these scriptures and keep saying them and saying them and saying them and saying them and learning them and possessing them until they're really part of you. That nothing can hurt you. That no fears. You know what I'm talking about. Whether there are fears that went to something. I mean, when I was went through the war as a little child, I used to have nightmares every night for years, screaming nightmares. Because I went through, I used to see the suffering of the Jews. We used to have a bombarding of those things over our lives all the time. We told Peggy the other day, God spared us the day before when in Dresden 350,000 people perished in one night, when the whole city was literally aflame. A few hours before, God took us out of that horrendous thing. Oh, I don't know how many people died in that night. 350,000. 350,000. Horrendous experience. But God took us out. But other times we're in the midst of the bombardings and see the cities aflame. And fears possessed me. And I, as a younger man, my family, let me just share this with you. My uncles and aunties were full of fear. When I met my auntie, I didn't know how bad it was when I met her in America years, Auntie Frieda. I said, how are you? I'm all right. I mean, talk about being so... One of her daughters tried to minister to her. Beautiful young lady, went through hell with all those fears. Because the family was fairly negative. But my parents were strong. And then I had to take faith. I'm telling you, I used to wake up in the I used to hate getting up Sunday morning pastoring. I mean, fear has possessed me. You have no idea. But I had to fight to overcome that. I'm preaching from experience. And I'm not going to go that way. I'm more than a conqueror. Can you say amen? I will not be defeated. Now, if you have needs, please come. Let me pray with you. Let me please come as we sing, My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. He will give His angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me, for me, for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. This week we heard of all kinds of terrible things. Remember that one? The situations of families, of children being raped and thrown out of homes and growing up with unbelievable fears. I can't believe what people do in homes and families these days. Father, just bless us tonight, I pray. Let faith rise. Can you say amen? Let faith come to us as we go from this place. Let us believe, only believe, all things are possible. Jesus looked for and commended faith. Now, if you want to receive Jesus, come forward and receive Jesus. I'm going to stay in the front here to pray for people if you want to. Otherwise, you're dismissed with God's blessing, with God's grace. Fear not, only believe. Can you say amen? God bless you. Do you want prayer?
Thank you again for tuning in today's powerful message from Dr. Reginald Klimanoff. We hope this has touched your heart and inspired your spirit. Stay connected with Logan City Christian Church for more uplifting sermons and spiritual guidance. Follow us on social media to join our community and stay updated on all our latest happenings. Remember, together we grow in faith and love. Until next time, may God's blessing be with you always.